to Nerdy For, the podcast where I, Amy Brown, ask interesting and funny people what they're nerdy for. I have a very interesting and very funny person in my costume chamber right now. Please welcome Joe Pettis.
I just realized this is a costume chamber.
Yes.
You see the costume so just now.
That's fun. It's Thank a you. While after Halloween and I still haven't cleaned up yet. Yeah. I think it's going to be like this until after Christmas because my birthday is the day before Christmas. Okay. And I have a theme get together for that. You're invited. Everyone's invited.
Okay.
Yeah, come. I think this year we're going to do British people.
That's fun.
Like fascinators and top hats and colony outfits. I don't know. That sounds terrible. No colony outfits. We're going to get in trouble. So, okay. I actually, when I first started doing comedy, I listened to a podcast you were on, and they called you the mayor of comedy in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Because you have been doing it a long time and you've run a lot of shows.
Correct.
And you have like the longest running comedy show, right?
Not in Atlanta. I have the longest running brewery show.
Brewery show.
Star Bar is the longest running comedy show in Atlanta. I'm probably second, probably second or third.
Okay. And that's the...
But it's the longest running brewery show in the entire world.
In the entire world. Yeah. So how long has it been? Yeah, because comedy and breweries go together.
Yeah, yeah.
Like peanut butter and jelly. It's perfect.
Exactly. So I don't know if we were necessarily the first, but for whatever reason, our show just continued. And no one has disputed this in the 13 years we've been doing it. Because when we started, there also wasn't as many breweries. Like there was maybe 20 breweries in Georgia alone.
Yeah.
Back in 2011. And now there's 20 in one neighborhood in Decatur.
Right. You can't spit without hitting a brewery these days.
So all these breweries are existing. All these breweries that have shows now, like, didn't even exist when we would start our show.
There's distilleries popping up,
too. Exactly. Yeah. And so I do shows at ASW Whiskey Exchange, and they didn't exist when we started. So it's expanding everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
You're welcome, all brewery shows.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And then you're wearing a Sweetwater hat right now.
Yeah.
And that's where your show is.
Yeah.
I love Sweetwater.
It's a good show.
I love the beer. I like the Tropicalia.
Is that what it's called?
A different one?
That's Terrapin.
My bad. What's the one?
They do Sweetwater 420 is like their 420. Flagship beer.
That's what it is. And I'll be like in a different city. I'm like, you have 420? And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I forgot that's just an Atlanta one.
Yeah.
But it's on Delta.
Yeah, it's on Delta. Yeah, they're worldwide now. So again, when we started the show, they were only in the Southeast, and now they're like in Ireland, and now they own a brewery out in Colorado now.
Oh.
They bought a brewery in Fort Collins.
Are you putting shows in those places too?
Not yet, yeah. So it's already said, because there's like Denver and Fort Collins already has such a good comedy scene its own.
That's true.
There's a guy like me out there who does only brewery. He does only brewery shows.
Brent?
No, Steve Vanderplug.
Okay.
Yeah, Brent does like a couple.
Of really Boulder.
He does the Boulder show and some other shows too. Yeah, but there's a bunch of people like that. Denver's very much like Atlanta where... It's a lot of people doing shows and stuff.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you've been running shows.
Yes.
But you have transitioned recently into full commitment, right? To stand-up and touring.
I've always been – it's always been like a mix, but now I'm trying to like be more like maybe 60-70% myself versus, promoting other people,
Right? It's like the teacher is now going to go and be the professional musician.
And I did before. I've toured plenty of times. I've done headlining tours, but like when I first started, my first five or six years, I would be on the road a lot.
Yeah.
But then I just kind of lucked into this thing where I was able to start producing shows in Atlanta and
make
a living from it, I think enough to survive at least, yeah.
You should teach seminars on how to make money doing comedy.
I'm still figuring it out.
Just be okay with being poor, but just getting by just enough.
90% of the making money in comedy is how to make like $10 last a week.
Exactly,
how to save a lot of money.
I was going to say, Joe's the first out-of-town comic I ever met whenever I was producing shows in Chattanooga. And then he told me what the light was.
Yeah.
Oh, you taught him?
I met him. We did a show at a cigar bar in Chattanooga in like, I don't know, 2010.
Oh my gosh, forever.
And there was a guy who opened up the show did 45 minutes.
Because then afterwards.
And it wasn't good. Just like, he was like, we were all new, but this guy was just, I guess no one, he just kind of sat in the stool and told stories for 45 minutes.
While
the rest of us waited.
Because we started that, the way I started comedy is I had two friends that Joe knew. They came back from LA for Christmas vacation and they put on like a show. And I was like, I always wanted to do stand up. And they're like, well, they like this at this bar. You should do it. So literally, we only had a monthly show.
Right.
So Joe came in like a year later. We'd maybe done 10 or 12 shows and was like, when are you going to do the light? I was like, the lights are on at all times.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, like, you got to light us for, like, time. I was like, what do you mean time? Like, you kind of just go until you want to be done. And then that, I will say, that was the first time anyone ever went that long. And that guy was named Caleb something. But he did terrible. Then afterwards, Joe was like, that's why you like people. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, this has changed my world.
He's onto something here with this giving the light to get people off.
First
the stage.
Man to light a comic and to do a brewery show.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's one of the reasons I started doing producing shows is I toured. So I went and toured by that. I mean, I would go do these shows for like 12 people in small other towns because their friends came out or whatever. And I learned what doesn't work.
Yeah.
So then I came back to Atlanta and I was like, here's.
You run a
I'm
tight
just gonna
show.
Apply this. Yeah. Yeah.
You run great shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I pay attention to what does work too. You know, like Starbar I brought up earlier. That's a great example of Rodney cares about the show. So he puts a lot of effort into making sure it's the perfect show.
Yes.
So I kind of took that, you know.
That energy. Yeah, the passion. Exactly. And he yells at the audience.
Yeah. Yeah. I try not to do that.
All
the
swear words.
Yeah.
All of them.
I have to be a little nicer, you know.
That God created. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're sweet. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it stinks more if I come up to you and I like shh, like it hurts more than being yelled at.
God damn it! a little shh. No. Yeah. I want to tell you congratulations on releasing you just released a special this week on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it's called Live at 40 Watt. And you can find it at Joe Pettis on YouTube.
Yeah.
Go watch it, like it, share it with your friends.
Please do.
It's great. it talks about some of your history with work.
Yeah.
It also talks about your wife a lot.
Yeah. I actually, my intention was originally to cut all the wife stuff.
Okay. Because, you said it during the special. Like, this one's probably not going to make it.
Yeah, and I kept talking. Yeah, and we just kept all that in too. But, It was the part that I enjoyed them, like I went back and watching it or like in the moment it was the stuff I was enjoying the most. I didn't have an idea of how much time I only released like 32 minutes of I did like an hour eight.
Okay.
When I did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the longest I've ever done. Like I've done like 45 to an hour before, but for whatever reason I just was having a really good time.
Yeah, and do all your jokes.
I just kind of threw it all out there to see what would work, and it all worked. But like that, it seemed like that. Really hit, maybe it's because like about halfway through the show or whatever it was, but it's the stuff that the audience and I were vibing the most.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything else was doing great, but it was like a weird energy that I had never really experienced before, so that's why I ended up on the special.
Do you think the energy people was different because they knew it was getting recorded?
Possibly. I'm not sure. Yeah, they also knew that my wife was there. I acknowledged early on that she was in the audience.
Yeah.
And so I think that kind of had effect.
Teasing her.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's in the audience. I was like, one of the things I tease my husband in my set, and he's like, don't tell people I'm in the room.
Yeah.
I don't want them looking at me.
Yeah, I always love when Holly Ballantyne will make fun of her husband, and she'll go, it's okay, he's not here, but he's literally like 5 feet away. Like,
yes.
Like, he's there. that's the thing. It was weird filming the special because when I perform, I don't write a set. I don't like think about what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just go up there and feel it out and work on, you know, whatever material, whatever feels natural to say.
Right.
So it was a mix of trying to figure out working out a structure, but then also being in that moment.
Yeah, because when you're recording it, if you want to like a callback or a crescendo, all the kind of theatrical things that would go into that.
Right.
So did you not write down?
No, I didn't think. Yeah, I didn't write down anything down, but I had thought I'd done 2 months of going around and like trying to work it out.
Yes.
So then I had an idea of like which you know what the order at least.
And you can keep it in
your
head.
Yeah. And then that kind of changed a little bit. Yeah. So I had the order in my head. I knew what I wanted. I basically knew what I wanted to say at the beginning, and I knew what I wanted to say at the end, and I had stuff to say in between. Which is how I do every set. But it was a little bit more structured. But then again, I got loose. A lot of what's end up on the special is just me kind of riffing.
Yeah.
And just kind of being in that moment, talking about the situation.
It was like catching lightning in a glass bottle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So the special nights where things just happen perfect.
Right.
I love those. All way more than the nights when people don't get your jokes and they're not into you and they just want you to get off stage.
Yeah. And I've caught a lot of those on camera before. Yeah, early on, right? I just didn't release them, you know?
Right. I record all of my sets with my, just like the audio and like my armpits start sweating just scrolling back past them. I don't need to listen to that one. this is very exciting that you got to, are you going to cut up your special and stick it out in like can watch the whole thing on YouTube. Are you going to make clips? Yeah, I've already started followers.
That's the whole reason I did it. Like, I'm not like some people. I think do it to like make money, and I don't. That's not my main concern. Or not my concern at all, because I don't think it's going to make any money. I'm losing money on it because I self.
You're investing in yourself.
I self produced all of it originally. A production company had reached out to me about doing it, and they're like doing a bunch of specials and stuff.
Is it the 800 pound gorilla?
No, I wish. If I did, I probably would have stuck with it. It was kind of like, if they're here, this company is kind of here, but they're growing.
Uh-huh.
But it was also, they had they reached out to me. I had been thinking about, but was I didn't have a date set until they talked to me about it. Yeah. And then we set a date, and then I found the venue, and it all worked out. But then after a while, I just decided that everything I've done has been kind of like my own. Mm-hmm. And I've, do you know Ranjit?
Yeah. No.
So Ron G's this guy who goes around to different shows around Atlanta, like films them, and he'll just do it like as a hobby.
Oh yeah. Did he do the West Side?
Yes, he did West Side.
Then yeah, I know him. I have an email. I have a video from him. Yeah,
and that's when he came out and just did it because he just wanted to do it. Like,
that's so sweet.
So he's done so many of these, and like my favorite videos I've had have been from him. So after like it was actually a month before we were about to shoot, I reached out to him and I was like, "Would you be interested in doing this?" And he's like, "Sure." And so like. Bailed on the production company.
Yeah.
And then just decided to do it again all by myself.
Was the production company going to own your special?
It was going to be like a 50-50 split.
Okay.
Which would have been fine. They release it. And a friend of mine actually had a special come out about the same time with them. And it's gotten more traction because they do have their own following.
Yeah.
But it's not like that 800 pound gorilla or that Don't Tell or that kind of that big yet. Yeah.
All those eyes on
it. Yeah. Or Comedy Central or any of that, you know? I thought years ago that I would have been. I thought when I first started, I thought. Within a few years, I'd be on Comedy Central doing a half-hour special.
Right.
I didn't think it would take 15 years, and I'd eventually just do it myself.
Right. It's right. Your first start. You're like, oh, this. And I think when we run into people who aren't into the comedy world, they're like, when's your Netflix special
exactly.
coming out?
Yeah, yeah.
They won't, even if you have 500,000 followers, they won't necessarily give you a Netflix special.
Right,
like, it's really, really hard. There's so many talented people out there, and it's so hard to get the traction and the everything. And are you posting every day on Facebook and Instagram? And I read fans, only fans.
Yeah.
And all of like, are you doing all that stuff to try to build a following?
A little bit. I do have an OnlyFans, but I think I have one subscriber on it.
Is it your wife?
No, it's a random guy here in Atlanta, actually. Because I started an OnlyFans in like 2020.
Oh, you were an original person on there.
Yeah, it was like maybe April or May that year. I started an OnlyFans and a LinkedIn the same day.
Okay.
So I was like, because I didn't know what was going to happen with comedy. So I was like, what's my other options?
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything with either one of them. I get more notifications on my LinkedIn. I'll get like weekly. I'll get, you know, three people have looked at your LinkedIn, but
no,
I'm not. It's just the same info I put out there 3 years ago, you know, and I'm not using it to try to find a job or anything. I'm now trying to be more active. My wife has been pushing me to do more.
Like, so congratulations.
I hate TikTok.
You had a big year. I have to say, you got married this year.
Last year.
Too.
I got married last year. Year.
Okay, and then you had your special this year. Congratulations.
Yeah, I don't think she would have allowed me to do it both the same year.
Too much. Too much planning.
It's enough that my special came out her birth month. Her birthday is later on this month.
Oh.
And I'm releasing the audio on Black Friday, which is 2 days before her birthday, and that she wasn't too happy with.
Really?
Yeah. We're just like a little like kind
Are
of
you
like,
stealing her birthday.
Yeah, just a little
thunder?
That's what she said. Yeah. Just a little aside, like, hey.
How long is her birthday celebration that she has to have the whole month?
Yeah, she just normally she doesn't even care. I don't think she normally has any kind of celebration. So maybe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, she has no celebration.
It's so close to Thanksgiving. It's
and
like,
she said she finally has a husband, and now she's like, okay, the whole month is going to be a celebration for me. And my, you know what? I support her. That sounds like something I would make my family do too.
And her birthday is so close to like her Black Friday and Thanksgiving that I've always like her first birthday together. I bought a MacBook for myself because it was this amazing deal.
Uh-huh.
So I think, and then like the last year, I bought a camera so I could start recording all my own sets and put them on TikTok and all this stuff. So it's like, it's weird. Like every time around her birthday, I invest in myself.
Instead of giving a present for her.
We do have a good time. Like last year we went out and had like a great dinner and stuff.
What's the best present you've ever bought your wife?
I don't know. Nothing. Her engagement ring, I guess.
Did you buy her a horse or anything like
that? No, she buys her own horses.
She buys her own horses. Yeah. Okay. And I was noticing you have a tattoo on your wedding
finger. I did buy this.
So there's a horseshoe tattoo on Joe's wedding finger.
Yeah. So I on our anniversary this year, we went out and got our fingers tattooed.
That's nice.
Got a shamrock because I have one on my neck.
Oh, I see it.
Yeah, so she got one. She got like a little, not like a different one, but then I got a horseshoe because she is a horse girl essentially.
Yeah, and
she has lots of horses.
I grew up on a horse farm.
Okay, yes,
I get
living on a horse farm right now. Yeah,
it's fun.
It's fun.
Like big dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, do they come when you call them and give you kisses?
Not so much when I call them because they don't care about
you don't,
me.
Do you don't feed them?
If they come to me, they want treats.
Yes.
Like her oldest horse, Simon, he's like 32, 33.
Ooh.
She's had him for like 20 years. He only knows me as a treat guy. Like he
yeah.
come to me and look at
expected
treats.
You're like treats, a stepdad.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. yeah.
With sugar cubes in your pockets.
Yeah.
That's so great. All right, so you have your new wife. You make fun of her in your uh-huh. special.
Yeah, and her mom was the first one to watch it.
Oh, really?
And I talk a lot about, because we all live together.
Oh,
and a
yeah.
good chunk of that special was how awkward it is yes. trying to have marital relations when your parents, not your parents, her parents live with you.
Your in-laws are living with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then they were the first ones, like her mom was the first one to watch it. And I didn't know till I shared a link with my wife and she didn't even watch it. But she gave it to her mom because her mom kept egging her about watching
it.
Yeah. And then I just, like 2 or 3 days before I released it, she was like, oh, I loved it. It was great.
Oh, good.
And she's come out to play in shows, and then she's seen...
She's got a sense of humor.
She's probably seen all that stuff, yeah. And she has a great sense of humor, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And they took you into their family and love you and everything?
Yeah, I think so.
That's wonderful.
We all live together, so hopefully.
Yeah. We're supposed to live with multi-generational homes.
That's how I grew up. Like, as a kid... like my grandmother was either always with us or with my aunt. Like she was, there was always, and then like a lot of times, like those cousins and different things, there was always mingling basically.
Yeah.
So I'm used to it.
That's great.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind living closer to my family or Ken, my husband's family.
Right.
They're fun people.
Right.
And they're getting sillier the older they get. It's really fun. So I haven't asked you yet. Joe Pettis, what are you nerdy for? Right. I have some ideas if you don't have an answer, by the way.
Yeah,
we'll say what do you think I'm nerdy for?
Yeah.
I want to hear your guesses first.
So I have a joke about action figures.
Okay.
And I got off stage and you're like, Amy, I got to tell you. My wife told me your girlfriend at the time told you not to buy any more action figures. And then there was this really good one at Target and you had to buy it and then you hid it in the trunk and then you forgot that you hid it in the trunk and then she found it and you got in trouble.
Yeah. That was before I met my wife, but it was
a different girlfriend.
Yeah, and it was actually like an action figure set. I went out and bought a WWE because I'm nerdy for wrestling.
Yeah, okay.
So I went out, when I quit drinking, mm-hmm. I replaced drinking with like buying action figures.
Okay.
For whatever, I think that's
wrestling
my excuse.
Action
yeah, wrestling action figures specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't buy them anymore. I stopped.
Okay, you weaned yourself off.
I did. Yeah, yeah.
Have you started drinking again?
No, Uh-oh. No. Yeah, no. Thankfully not. Yeah. No, I bought a lot. I bought like I probably got a little over 100 or so.
100.
And I ended up giving them all to...
Oh, you gave them away.
I gave them to Holly Ballantyne's kids.
Oh, that's nice. For the next generation.
Exactly, yeah. But then I do have a couple now because I bought a couple after that and my wife has given me a couple. People give them to me now.
Uh-huh.
So I do have maybe five just because a handful of people knew I did buy action figures and they'll just give me... They'll go to TJ Maxx and see a random action figure.
They'll think of
Joe
you.
Wants this, yeah.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of sweet, yeah.
Do you watch the wrestling?
I do, yeah.
And they have the characters. Ron Funches, right? He's a big wrestling guy.
A lot of, it's actually a weird parallel crossover between wrestling and comedy.
A lot of comics I know are into wrestling.
Is it because they're doing characters? Is character work?
I think it's in the same vein. Like you go out into a front of an audience every night. It's always live.
Okay.
So, like, for the most part, it's always live. Like it's very rare that there's, like, you know, during the pandemic, they were doing shows about audiences. But that whole, most of the time, it's all about being in front of a live audience.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's that parallel.
Mm-hmm.
The coming up process, like, there's a lot of, wrestlers will go travel 12 hours.
Okay.
To go wrestle for free or $25 or a hot dog or something. Comics do that. So it's like a weird parallel somehow.
Yeah, showbiz.
Yeah.
It's showbiz. And there's something about the wrestler has to have like his persona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or his or her
persona. You have to find your voice basically as a wrestler.
Finding your voice as a wrestler. And then what's that name? And then there's finding your voice as a comedian. Mm-hmm. Like what's kind of like, how would, like mine's nerdy dirty. That's.
Right.
I had a friend come up and she's like, what's your thing again? Slutty dorky. I'm like, no. It was my husband's cousin said that to my face in front of the family. I'm like, no. It's very dirty. That door is slutty.
A little different, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like that's definitely like what's coming out of me. I don't know if that's how I want to continue to go. I've been like toying with the idea of being a cleaner comic,
right?
But do you have like a kind of a sentence, like a branding, a marketing phrase that encapsulates like because they say like when you go on stage within a minute, people need to know your point of view so they know what, like, kind of thing they're laughing at.
Right, right.
Do you have a thing for that?
I think it, if I do, I don't know. Like, I don't have a phrase or anything. But I think for me, it's my, I was the thing people always come up to me and talk to me about is my laugh. I laugh a lot at myself.
Uh-huh.
And it's not something I open up, like, so I think, and it's not something I intentionally do. It's just like, sometimes I don't even realize I'm doing it, but either people love it or it drives them crazy.
Oh, really?
So I think that's part of, but just, I guess I, part of my success, whatever it is, I mean mostly that by, like, when you're actually on stage in that moment,
mm-hmm.
is I think for whatever reason, people like me. Uh-huh. And so I think that's what I'm just trying to be. Like, I want to be like, I think my persona is like kind of like, if you're at a party, that's a guy who's kind of like, which I'm the opposite of that. If I'm at a party, I'm like, I don't want to talk to people at all. Yeah.
But you're giggly.
Yeah, I'm giggly, yeah.
You're giggly.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
Yeah, like,
I make fun a little bit. All, even the jokes about my wife, it's all back on me.
Oh, yeah. So crucifying your,
yeah.
Yes, it's all about you.
Yeah, which is always when you get on stage in the first place, is because it's all about me. You know, we want to be up there, so I just find a way to talk about myself, but make it so that for whatever reason, people out in the audience think it's funny. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have a good time.
Yeah, have a good time. Yeah, I want to have a good time. Like I want to have fun.
You're gonna have fun.
I'm not like a political comic. I don't talk about stuff mostly because I just don't think I really know anything about any of that. But but when I'm on stage, when it works the best. When I vibe with the audience best is when I'm having fun and they're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's clear that I'm having fun, they're having more fun. And when I'm not having fun, that's when I, like, bomb. If I'm not having fun, like, I kind of just give up. And it's going with more. These days, I don't think I have so much bomb. It's just, like, going through more, like, the motions.
You're not in your body.
Yeah, like, I did a show.
You're not connecting with the audience, right?
Yeah. I just had a headline show where, like, you know, it wasn't bad, but it was, like, it wasn't great and I wasn't having fun. So it's kind of, it felt like that. It's kind of just like, here's a joke. Okay. Yeah. I look at my phone, like, how much more time do I have so I can get out of here and drive home, you know?
Sometimes the audience doesn't get, like, it's a give and take. And if the mm-hmm. audience is tired or the show has been too long or in their mind wasn't what they were expecting.
Yeah.
Like, that's Maria Bamford talks a lot about, because she's an odd bird and her comedy is esoteric and amazing. She's one of my favorites. But you got to know what you're getting into when you go to the comedy club to see her.
Right.
And so, like, we all have to find our weirdos.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I'm struggling with that. I think that's why I feel like pretty successful as a stand-up comic. I just hit my 15-year mark.
Mm.
And for the last 10 years, I haven't really had a real job. I do have, like, I've done other things, but for the most part, I only do stand-up comedy, so I'm lucky enough to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I have so many friends who have blown up because they found their weirdos. You know, like, they found the audience.
They found their people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who are the people, Dish, who are the famous people, you know, that have blown up because they found their tribe?
Well, so I know a lot of, like, I worked with a lot of, like, kind of, like this, I have this comic I know, Martin Amini. He's killing it right now because he's Bolivian.
Ah.
And he has the Bolivian audience. I just met a guy, Shafi Hussein, who was in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
He's from Bangladesh.
Uh-huh.
And his whole audience was, like, people from Bangladesh. So it's like this weird, like, these little niche audiences.
Right.
That people are kind of tapping into.
Maybe I should tap into all the horse girls out there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think Catherine Blanford's doing that.
She is. Yeah.
Like, I know she's going. Yeah.
She didn't have a horse. She just played horses.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I think she's found her audience. And, like, mm-hmm. So I've seen examples like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my problem is I think I know my audience, but they're, like, they're basically lower class white people in towns you don't want to go to. That is my audience.
That's me. I do well.
I'm appreciative to them, but, like, they're not following. They're not on TikTok.
Rural Ohio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
chef's kiss.
Panama City, Florida.
Uh-huh.
I love going to Panama City, Florida, because it's, like, a weird kind of, like, vibe, you know?
Like, I kill so hard down at PCB.
Yeah, yeah, they know who they are, you know? And that mm-hmm. and so those people will appreciate a comic like myself, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't do well. Like, I've never had an amazing set in New York, you know?
Oh, right. I'm terrified to do stand-up in New York City.
Yeah. Last time I did it, well, actually, the reason I've quit drinking twice, and the first reason...
Oh.
Is I got to do the Knitting Factory show in New York. This is, like, 2015.
Knitting Factory.
It was like the show
mm-hmm.
Of the time. Like, in the mm-hmm. show I was on.
It was the tiny cupboard of its time.
Kind of, yeah, yeah. It was like a music venue that would do comedy. Hannibal Buress started, but this period it was a handful of guys that were hosting it. And, mm-hmm. and then it passed on to, I don't think it exists anymore. But the show I did, Clayton English did his first appearance
okay.
there. Kyle Kinane was on the show. Tim Dillon was on the show.
Oh, wow.
Hamble was on the show as well.
Wow.
There was always like Sam Morril was on the show. Yeah. There was always huge
names.
They're
all blowing up now.
Yeah, yeah. And I go out there and I just bombed. And like every comic who had moved to New York was in town, like from Atlanta was there. Like it was full of, it was like,
oh, in front of
the entire scene was, yeah, also the entire scene, yeah.
My tummy hurts for you.
Yeah, yeah,
right
yeah.
Now.
It was bad.
I'm going to go have nervous diarrhea for you in the past.
Yeah.
Wait, so this is 2013?
2015, yeah.
15.
I've been back since then.
And then afterwards, did you start drinking again?
I started again during the pandemic.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Well, me, I hit the fast forward button and alcoholism during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Do you high five?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I went 5 years and then the pandemic. I was like, we were living out in Woodstock and the outlet mall had open container.
Okay.
And so one day I was like, oh, this seems like it would be fun to go drink a beer again at the,
And you have no responsibilities.
Exactly,
Like there's no reason to stay sober.
Yeah, so then once I get the responsibilities back, I saw the dark path that would lead me to again, where it would prevent me from doing the things I want to succeed at.
Was it hard to quit the second time?
It was way easier the second time.
Because you'd already done it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The stakes were higher. Actually, what happened was that I was on vacation with my wife, then fiance. She actually was my girlfriend at the time. Wasn't my fiance. This is now 2 years ago. We were in Montana having a great time. And we went to Yellowstone and all that. And then one night, we had a couple nights in Bozeman. And our first night, we went out to somewhere and I just got...
It's at altitude too. So your body isn't having...
I went back to old me and just kept... I was like, I'm just drinking a lot just for the sake of drinking and trying to get messed up basically.
Can your brain... Does it pass out? I mean, not pass out.
Blackout. Yeah, blacked out. I only remember leaving the bar.
Okay.
But I woke up the next morning to a situation I didn't want to be in.
Yeah.
And my then girlfriend not very happy with me.
Yeah.
And so just kind of realized like if I continue this path, I knew that she wasn't gonna.
She's gonna leave.
Yeah, she was gonna leave. Yeah.
Yeah. They say like you take a drink, the drink takes a drink, and then the drink takes you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's that kind of that night where you're like, there's no consequences
exactly,
for these, this action that
you
keep having. We're just drinking beer after beer. Yeah. Like bourbon.
Yeah, I had a lot of nights like that. Yeah.
Right? It's I've been doing a lot of reading. Well, I can't read, but I listen to books. shout out Audible that talk about the addictive qualities of alcohol and how it's like extremely addictive. It's as addictive as like all the hard drugs, and it's just socially acceptable.
Yeah.
Even though it's poison we put in our body.
Right.
And I keep telling myself that right before Friday night when I go on a date with my husband and I order a martini.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you have any like secrets for like when it's the time of day when you would usually drink and you're supposed to do something else? Like what do you do to kind of get through that habit loop?
So I never had really the desire to drink.
Okay.
It was never like, I'm a weed smoker. To this day, I still smoke weed. I'm more of a, and I've cut down a little bit on that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I might do it like once a day, whereas it was all day thing kind of back, for a long time. But the drinking was more like I would find myself in a situation a lot of times where alcohol was very like the first time around we could go pretty much anywhere in Atlanta and drink for free.
As a comedian.
Like, because I'd go to like certain bars or certain venues where I knew all the bartenders, I knew everyone.
Uh-huh.
And so I just didn't have the control. So it wasn't so much I wanted to get drunk. I just, once I started that path.
What, after the first drink, then it would be like,
why not keep going? Yeah, I was in like, oh, let's have like a little drink at brunch and then not stop drinking.
All day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll slow down your career.
It's really hard to say no when people are just like, hey, you want a drink? You're not going to pay for any of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Joel, our producer, has been sober now for a while. What do you like? Was there like, I have like a certain time of the day and it's dinner time. I'm like, I want to have a glass of wine with this dinner.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out what to have that's not that.
Right. So I guess that's kind of me for weed sometimes.
Okay. So I just start smoking weed?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Should I have my children roll the joints for me?
I miss drugs more than I miss drinking.
Yeah.
But just go start doing drugs. Drugs are tight.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been sober,
stinky,
and I want to tell everyone.
There's other drugs.
Drugs. Yeah. I'm not saying just weed. I'm just saying I'm very pro all drugs.
Yeah, I met more good people through drugs than I met through drinking.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Another reason I quit drinking the first time around is I got arrested at a Braves game. I got super drunk.
Oh wow!
And my weed guy bailed me out of jail.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so the people, like, granted, I was drinking with him at the baseball game too. but no one else wanted to bail me out of jail. So he raised the funds.
Yeah.
It was his funds, but yeah. And then, Set someone else to go pick me up at jail.
I was say, he probably gave him enough money over time.
Oh, absolutely,
time,
yeah. But, you know,
he was like, just...
I got to get Joe back out.
He's
so
protecting
I can...
his investment.
Exactly, yeah, basically, yeah.
that's hilarious. He's probably the only one who had money, too.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, you can't
yeah,
bail someone out with hand. Chicken fingers and yeah. free beers. Yeah. Do you get, like, loud and sassy when you drink a lot?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Really?
And I'm kind of like, yeah, because I'm pretty reserved until I'm on... until, like, a situation like this where I'm on stage.
Right.
I'm not, like, the pay attention. I'm, like...
You're not an improv guy.
Yeah, I'm not, like...
You're
like, yeah.
a classic stand... So many stand-up yeah. comedians are quiet backstage.
Yeah.
And then after their set, they'll chat more. But yeah. they're just, like, in their head thinking about their set or, mm-hmm. you know... and then the improv kids, those are the ones that come in big energy all right, the time, yeah. every room, hugging, kissing.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, I'm like, hey, how you doing? And then I'm like, I like to go, like, so they laugh at school. I'll go sit in the green room area, not like the outside area, but I'll go sit in the corner by the table because mm-hmm. that's also where the food comes first. So I'm the first person there for the food.
it's a great strategy.
Yeah, I'll just kind of sit there and kind of just listen while the circles kind of happen. Everyone's like kind of riffing, going back and forth, and everyone's kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. Throwing things out there. Because mm-hmm. Again, yeah, I'm usually not, I don't even think about my set so much. I think about all the other aspects of the show. Is like, how's the audience going to be? Is the sound going to be okay? Are the lights going to be okay? Like, even if it's not my show,
yeah.
I'm thinking about those things. Even in a place like the Laughing Skull where everything's going to be great,
yeah.
I'm thinking about what are like kind of like all the other variables involved with this situation mm-hmm. right now.
I think a lot about who's in the audience and who's, yeah, if the other comedians are talking to people in the front row, and then I can riff on that later.
Yeah, yeah.
If people lose their mind when you do that.
Yeah, yeah. The Laugh is cool because you have the camera. They have the camera on the audience, so you can go see. Like, so mm-hmm. I'll watch before myself, see who's reacting to what, how the audience is reacting.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll see like a table up front that's not reacting to anything, and so I'll just like. I'm not that type of person who call. I'm not gonna call them out. I'll just ignore them.
Uh-huh.
I'll just pretend like they're not there, so they don't. So it. Cause otherwise, if I go on stage and that's what I'm confronted with, and I wasn't expecting that, it would throw me off.
Uh huh.
So
yeah, I feel like the best comedy show is when everyone's in the comedians are actually in the room too, and so they see
paying attention. Yeah.
And so every next comedian is taking whatever joke that was started with an audience member and builds on it until right. like Nick Murphy's at the end and it's all improv'd or whatever it feels yeah. like. And or what, you know, people who are, I'm not that good at the, I'm working on it, the crowd work and all of mm-hmm. that. But I wrote all these jokes and I want to share them with you.
Yeah.
I'm a theater girl. That's the best. I've been to like the Comedy Cellar in New York City and mm-hmm. like the comedians go ask the same question of the same audience
yeah,
member
yeah.
in the same show.
Because they're not watching each other.
Because they're not
yeah.
watching each other. And yeah. They could feel the audience yeah. groan. Like, yeah. we already know this guy's an accountant. Like,
yeah.
move on.
Yeah, I almost enjoy those. I almost enjoy seeing a comic go up and then like the third person to talk to someone
yeah.
and ask him the same question.
Yeah.
And feel like, oh, that energy. It's more fun, yeah. Sometimes it's more fun to watch a comic fail than it is to watch them succeed.
Oh, well, that's
but only if it's like their own fault, you know.
Yeah, that's the road dog comedian. yeah, yeah. Soul inside of you.
Yeah.
I know. I found myself. I'm now laughing when comics' jokes don't land.
Yeah.
Right. And it sounds rude. I yeah. realized it sounded rude because I was the only one laughing and it was a regular audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sounds like I was making fun of them, but no, it makes me laugh now.
Yeah.
But when stuff doesn't work.
And
people.
I enjoy it too because especially if I'm going last, it gives me a chance to figure out, okay, like it's almost like a challenge now, like, oh no, this person in front of me just failed at this, can I go do the same exact thing and do well at it?
And do it. Yeah. Oh, that's a flex.
I like when someone like does like tries to do crowd work and then like it fails and then they attack the audience member.
Oh
yeah. And then I'll go up and try to do like something positive about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Put a little rose on
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So like, hey, that I'm sorry you hated that person, but hopefully you like me, you
yeah,
know, and you like
nice.
Me more now because you hated that person so much.
Right. And you're doing yeah. a callback, so yeah. everyone loses
yeah.
their mind.
Yeah. That's not what I want. Ideally, everyone it's like a Christian. It builds. Everyone's doing so great that by the time you get up there,
mm-hmm. yeah.
But I do like. I enjoy the variety. You know.
Yeah. Did you? What would you like give advice to like your younger self or a younger comedian like? Because you're like... You're
probably not drink. oh, yeah, just like hold... Like try lower my expectations
uh-huh.
and focus more on just becoming a good comic and being like the best.
Oh, your expectations.
Being myself. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think I had such a high expectation of how good I was. I think maybe... I like to think all new comics think this.
Yeah.
What do you think? You're the shit. and you're so much better than everyone else, and now you deserve all these things, and realizing none of that really exists.
I think people too think that comedy, because if you have a couple good sets, you're like, oh, I figured it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't know that you've got 10 years of eating ass on stage ahead of you, that your jokes aren't going to work in every room and in every audience and in every lineup and in every conditions, and you have to, like, you got to get pummeled.
Yeah.
And get humble.
Bombing's the best thing ever that you can do for a new comic. Because once, you know, well, actually, he lives in town, so we both, but Ryan Darling, back whenever he started doing shows in Chattanooga with me, at that point, I'd been doing shows for a while, and a bunch of people were like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this. And I was like, I don't really want to mentor anybody. Because people quit, and that's fine. And so Ryan Darling did one open mic, and then the next night, Nate Bargatze, who literally just hosted SNL, Nate Bargatze and Louis Katz were in town.
Right.
And Ryan was just like, I really, really want to do stand-up. Like, I love this. I've been coming to shows. The first show, I was like, great. You're going to open. Like, I was like, I'm hosting the show. I'm going to host. You're going to do a like, 5 minute, and then we got a couple of... And he was just like... He was like, I'm going to do terrible. I was like, yeah, but here's the thing. You're going to do bad. And if you come to me the next day and you're like, hey, I really still want to do this. I was like, I'll help you out. And like, I'll give you a lot of stage time. And like, you know, I was like, but I've had too many people say they want to like do this all the way. And I'm tired of helping people. So like, do this. And sure enough, he bombed. And then and then saw everyone else fucking kill and destroy. And then the next day he was like, no, I still want to do it. And Ryan's great now. I love Ryan. Yeah.
And
what they're doing with their band.
Good Cop. Red Cop is great.
So it's like how he started as a comic and then found this other thing. And now that's kind of blowing up.
Yeah, so Good like Cop, that. Rad Cop is two comedians who play the guitar and sing satirical songs, and no one can follow them.
They have
to go at the end of a show because they murder.
I've known Ryan since he started, because I think I probably did his. I was probably in JJ's for his. I was supposed to take Joel on the road for some underwear shows, and he couldn't go, so he suggested Ryan.
Real quick for the audience, an underwear show. Please,
I used to do
that.
So I started.
Explain yourself.
I started the Atlanta version of an underwear show that now continues on, but I went on the road with it.
Okay, and an underwear show is...
I hope you can figure that way. All the comics perform in their underwear.
In their underwear.
Yeah.
This is the origin story of OnlyFans.
I still remember one of the times you did it at JJ's. It was like the most debaucherous night afterwards. Like,
ooh.
I don't know if it was the toilet paper night or the night we shot fireworks out of our underwear.
Everybody was hooked, and there was
JJ's is the horniest comedy venue I've ever been to. But that night,
JJ's is the horniest comedy venue.
Chattanooga, I think Chattanooga in general is the horniest city I've ever been to.
Okay, you heard it here first. Chattanooga is the horniest city in the United States.
It was an underwear night. I think it was maybe the firework night, or maybe
that's where you're from.
Yeah, I started that room.
There was a night where every single comic went home with a woman or like a guy or something.
So out of their league too.
I was the only one. I went home with Ryan and his girlfriend and slept on her couch. I was like, I'm taking a mega bus to Cincinnati tomorrow. Yeah. I don't want to be part of this.
That night was ridiculous. Yeah. And everyone just got so blacked out.
Every other night I participated, but that night because everyone was doing it. Yeah. I almost like, I don't want to do this.
JJ is, it's still going, but that's the room that I started up in Chattanooga forever ago. And Joe used to pretty much have open invitation for any time.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, I'm going to do a tour. I'm like, all right, here's your, when do you want the night? And then, because even there was an old bartender, Eddie, who was like, he was our bartender for all comedy nights. And he loved the comedy shows. He always, that was like one of the, you know, you're not going to pay your tab.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to stumble out of here and you're like, here's $20 for a tip. Thank you.
Yeah. It's, I've been on a show where like, I didn't do as well as I thought I should, but the bartender liked my set, and I'm like, all better. Fixed it. This guy's here watching these sets for weeks and weeks.
Right.
He could probably has his own type 5.
I've actually had two long distance relationships because of JJ's.
Oh really?
Short lived. One was like a 2 week with it. One was like a couple months. But when they would come down here, I'd go up there.
Dude,
I would just go drop in at JJ's on the open
sailor.
Mic.
You got a girl at every port. As long as that port is Chattanooga.
As long as it was Chattanooga back in the day, The shortest mega bus stop from Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Is this your drinking days?
A mix of drinking and not drinking days,
Good for you.
JJ's got a lot of comics laid. There's low bars in Chattanooga. Chattanooga is a lot of heavy drinking, a lot of heavy partying. And especially because, it would just be all the... I mean, that's why JJ's became successful, going back to the center, we found our weirdos. It was just like, hey.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
It's like, do you guys want to come out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday night and get like way, way too wasted? I used to, anytime touring comics would come through, I'd be like, hey, what's your like, do you like drinking? Do you like drugs? What drugs do you like? And they'd be like, what do you mean? I was like, just literally tell me. And then I'd be like, all right, great. Hey, thanks for everyone coming. This person would love some ketamine. So we're going to go out back and smoke weed. But if anyone has any ketamine, bring it out. And every time without fail, someone would be like, hey, you're really funny. Anyways, here's all the drugs that you said you wanted.
And
we would just party super hard.
So if you have any addiction, and drugs are addictions to everybody. Yeah. If you have any, like if you've broken that seal, it's going to be really
that's
hard
great.
To say no.
Yeah, yeah. Possibly, yeah.
Because you can, yeah. That's what's great about a lot of underground shows is you can just tell them.
Yeah.
This isn't the thing you do at clubs.
Yeah.
But you can just go to like bar show. I mean, you can probably.
I was at Chattanooga Choo Choo Comedy Club.
You're talking about Comedy Catch.
Comedy Catch. John Hastings was the headliner, and he was asking for weed. And he was like, "If you are a police officer," he pointed to the comedy sign, like the Comedy Catch.
Oh,
comedy.
Yeah.
This is comedy, and I checked with my lawyer friends, and they said I can do this.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, you can always say it was for comedy. It wasn't real. It was sarcasm.
Exactly.
And then swallow all the drugs real quick so the police officer doesn't see them in your purse, your face hole.
I've had police officers come to you at the show and go, hey, man, I just want to know I'm a cop. And I'm like, okay. Like, it's cool.
I know, right? Are people still getting arrested for marijuana in Atlanta? Because I feel like
not Atlanta. It's a ticket now in Atlanta, which I'm actually aspiring to get one.
Oh, and like, another life dream.
It's like a $75 ticket now, you know, instead of going to jail. It's still probably a hassle.
Isn't it like, it's like decriminalized? It's like under
under like an ounce probably. Yeah.
There's even, like bigger fish to fry.
A lot of places like Savannah, even small towns in Georgia now. Like it's like, so I think if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, probably they care.
Okay.
But it seems like they care less.
Right.
Now, because I've been arrested twice for weed, but when I was like, this is like 20 years ago.
When
I was
back
like,
when,
high school and like a little bit after high school when they did care everywhere.
So do you have a record?
Yeah, back in my day, I was arrested for weed.
Can you go to Canada or you're like?
I just went to Canada, so yeah, I've never got a DUI. So.
Oh, is that what they care about up there?
I think they care about DUIs. Probably some other like violent things and stuff, but I've never had anything like that. I've had four underage possession of alcohols, and one of those was also weed.
Okay.
And at that time, that was both it was weed and alcohol possession by consumption. We just had told some cops we smoked weed. And they arrested us.
This is
in Camden County, Georgia, where I went to high school.
Uh-huh.
So it's a very small town. They'd probably still arrest you for weed.
This sounds like they had no real evidence.
Yeah. So
Did you guys not have a lawyer?
I got a lawyer for that, and I ended up getting dropped.
Good.
I've been arrested nine times, and only...
You've been arrested nine times?
Yeah,
you buried the lead.
And I've only had one somewhat of a conviction.
That's what he's nerdy for, is getting arrested.
When I got arrested at the Braves stadium...
You like to go for a car ride.
Yeah. When I got arrested at the Braves game, it never went to court. My case went past the statute of limitations.
Okay.
For 4 years, I had a call.
What did you do with the Braves game? That was
I punched a TV.
The TV?
I don't remember doing it.
A television set?
Yeah, it was a television set above a urinal in the club level of Turner Field.
Was it a flat screen?
Probably, yeah. This is
a tube?
It's like 10 years ago, too. So like, it was a flat, I think it was flat screen.
A brand new, little flat screen.
Little flat screen above the urinals, yeah. And I didn't remember doing it, but apparently my friend, he said he saw me do it. But someone in a stall heard me break the TV, saw it fall, and then recognized me from my shoes. I was wearing dirty red Chuck Taylors.
Oh my goodness.
And they came out of the bathroom, and they're like, that's the guy. And then they swarmed me, and they took me to a jail cell they had inside Turner Field, and they eventually took me to Atlanta City Jail, where I spent the night. And then the next day, you wake up, and they take you upstairs, and they have an arraignment.
Okay.
And so everyone got arrested that night, and there was like 180 people.
Do you think that happens at every Braves game? They have 180?
No, it's 100 people in the city of Atlanta in general. I was the only person from the Braves game who got arrested. Yeah.
I was getting to be upset about baseball.
Yeah, it's like 180. But 180 people got arrested in Atlanta that night and had to go face this judge. And you do it. It was like a virtual judge, so like it has a TV.
Oh wow! Don't punch the TV again.
Yeah. They did, but they did it in the order of criminal past. I went second to last.
Uh huh.
Because I was the only one with nine arrests, previous arrests. So, but again, it was like underage possession of alcohol. I got arrested once for trying to steal a pair of Skechers at a mall in Jacksonville, Florida.
How old were you?
That time, most of my arrests when I was 17.
Okay, did you have a rough year when you were 17? Or the best year of your life?
Yeah, I just didn't care. Yeah, I was on track to go to college and have my choice of college pretty much.
Oh wow!
So I was just like, fuck it, like why not just have a good time?
Uh huh.
So yeah, I just got wild. It was probably just hanging out with the wrong people. Uh-huh. But I was also probably the wrong person to hang out with too, because I wasn't.
You were improv-ing, yes-anding all of the things.
Yeah, pretty much all my friends got arrested, but I was the only one who got arrested that many times.
Right.
So again, like, you know, I got arrested in Cobb County when I was 21 for weed. So again, that's not like serious, but for whatever reason,
you're not a violent criminal.
Yeah, for whatever reason,
you're just a delinquent.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I got arrested for the Braves game, and I finally went in front of the judge because my arrest record was so well. He's like looking at it, and he's like, "Oh, I don't know what to do." So, and everyone before me got a plea bargain, which is basically like, "Hey, spend two nights in jail or spend a $500 fine. Yeah, go do this that day." And they go, "Cool." Or they say not guilty, and they go, "Okay, we'll either get bailed out or you're in jail until your court date or whatever." So then when I get to mine, he goes, "We're gonna have to transfer you."
Oh,
so
no.
So they transfer me to Fulton. He's like, "We're gonna transfer you to Fulton State Court."
Oh, is that the Fulton State Prison?
No, it was just a different court system. So they were, but I assume I would have stayed in the San Atlanta. I thought I was about to stay there.
Okay.
Because I didn't have a phone on me, so I didn't have anyone's phone number at the time. I didn't know who to call. I didn't have any phone number to call.
I couldn't bail myself up yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they were getting ready to. After that, they were getting ready to process me and send me up to like the jail part, because you're just in like a holding area, holding part.
Okay.
And then just as like, I was wearing a friendship bracelet, and they're about to make me cut it off when I hear, "Pettis, Joseph, you've been bailed." Yeah. So literally, I was about to go up to like the main cell.
Yeah.
And so then I had an original court date, and I went, and they're like, "We don't know where you are. You're not in our system."
Oh.
So like they keep calling.
You got the paperwork.
Yeah.
Saved
so they keep,
you.
Yeah, they keep, I think because they transferred me. Yeah. They got lost in the shuffle, but they like call every week, and I was like, "How long?" And I was like, "So eventually, I was like, what's the statute of limitations?" So I looked into that, and it was 4 years.
Okay.
So I called for 4 years. I called every week, like, "Hey, do I have
make
a court
sure
date?
You're not out on court? Like yeah. yeah out without bail." Yeah.
And then after 4 years, yeah, I've had interactions with police since then. Like I just got pulled over,
and they run your license.
I presume, yeah, no one's ever said anything to me, so yeah.
Okay. Like, that'd be fun to have a police officer friend who can like check your file. And
my wife, her dad is an ex-cop.
Okay.
So I probably could find. You can actually just go to any police station and get your.
Does he know about your record?
Yeah, because I've talked about it. They've seen me talk about it. Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah.
And, again, it's like minor, you know.
It's like when like opposite sides of the law become
exactly,
friends.
Yeah. I never thought I'd be friends with a police officer or a former police officer. Nonetheless, be the son-in-law.
The son-in-law
of one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not every police officer is a terrible person.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Some people think.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems like he's probably the most one of the most level-headed people I've ever met in my entire life. So I can only presume he was that way as a police officer. Well.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't trust anyone when they're in the uniform. You know.
Oh really? Not even the mailman.
No, I'm not like a police officer wearing the uniform. Yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's just like that little.
What if they're on a bicycle?
I've been arrested. I've not been arrested by a cop.
I got
arrested
by a
bike cop. Yeah.
One of my underage, more aggressive, probably angry.
Yeah, one of my underage possession of alcohol arrests was from a bike cop.
Oh, I feel like they look like they're having so much fun there.
This guy was not.
Oh my gosh. What about one on a horse?
My wife would probably divorce me.
If you got arrested by a guy on a horse. Yeah. He's like this close to being in a parade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I got to arrest this kid first. Yeah. He needs a tenth record.
Yeah, I went to Georgia State and they have the police cops down right there. And I lived downtown. Like I lived right off Peachtree at Five Points when I was going there. And there was police horse cops who would pull you over if you jaywalked.
Uh-huh.
So I was always on the lookout for them because I didn't want to get a ticket from a horse cop
for jaywalking.
Yeah, that's all they existed for. Basically, was just to give you a ticket for jaywalking.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's kind of aggressive.
They would just get business people and Georgia State students all day long.
Oh, they're trying to make money, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, someone has. Yeah. I mean, horses are expensive, so I get it. Yeah, you know,
horses are expensive. You know, Malcolm Gladwell's book "Speaking to Strangers" addresses the change in policing policy, and he thinks it's it went from just keep people safe to like make money, get a certain amount of things, and he thinks that's directly led to the problem that we're having with
absolutely, yeah,
humans and police. Right. In our culture right now. Have you listened to that book or read it?
I have not, no.
It's fascinating. It got a lot of like controversy around it, but I think it was very well written. And this is the part of the podcast where I find out what kind of a nerd you are, my dear.
Okay.
I have a series of questions I'm going to ask you. We already know you like wrestling. Who's your favorite wrestler?
Right now, my favorite wrestler is this guy, Swerve Strickland. He's in AEW. He's like kind of like an up-and-coming.
What's his character?
He's a really good like all around wrestler, but his character right now is he's also a rapper.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of like that.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So he's kind of like,
does he come out and rap into a microphone?
He comes out. No, but a lot of people would do that, but he does come out to his own theme song that he rapped.
Oh, that's
John
fine.
John Cena did the same thing.
John Cena has a rap?
John Cena was, his original persona was that he was a rapper. Well, one of his original personas,
I almost spit tape.
Yeah, I didn't watch wrestling. Yeah, I wasn't watching wrestling at this point, but he had his song, the most famous wrestling, like, dun, 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 dun. That's him rapping.
Oh my gosh. He doesn't seem like a liquid person. Like, he just seems like a rock of a human. Yeah. So I can't imagine him busting a rhyme or moving his hips.
Yeah, in the 2000s, his persona was, he was like a battle rapper wrestler. He would come out and, like, insult you with raps.
Okay.
Yeah. But this guy is kind of like he's just cool. I think that's what it is. But he's also just a very good wrestler.
Okay.
Do
you have a costume?
Jake the Snake Roberts is my favorite wrestler of all time, though.
Do you have a costume of this person? Like,
no, he doesn't. Also, he's a black wrestler, so I think, I don't think I could dress up like him.
Okay. Fair enough. Do you have any wrestling costumes?
I did Dragon Con last year. My wife and I both went as wrestlers. Okay. She went as Darby Allin, her favorite wrestler.
Oh.
And I went as
CM Punk.
You guys
are adorable together with your wrestling outfits at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
My heart just exploded in my chest.
Yeah.
I love it when the nerds find each other.
Yeah, we went to Disney World wearing the same Disney shirt. We're that couple, yeah.
Do you love Disney World?
I love it. I kind of got her to love it. She had never gone as an adult.
Okay.
She went as a kid.
Did you have fantasies of getting married in Disney World?
Nah. I want to be something different. We got married at Rocky Mountain National Park.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, because one, in Colorado, you don't need officiant. You can just go, hey, we're getting married, and you give them $30, and then you come back and you go, we did it, and you're like, cool.
Oh, yes, that sounds like Colorado.
That was cool, appealing. She wanted the mountains. We wanted the outdoor. We eloped, except for her parents came with us.
Are you guys
us.
Both introverts?
I think so, yeah. I think I'm more extrovert than she is.
Uh-huh.
Except she just went today. While we were doing this, she went and saw the Taylor Swift movie with Holly and Amber and Holly's kids.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So she does do more of that. Yeah.
That's good.
But I'm more like this. Like, she would never do this. She would hate to do
it's
a
lot
podcast.
Of it's a lot of hot energy on you with the lights and the talking and the questions. Okay. Have you ever written fan fiction?
I've never written, no.
Are you Star Wars or Star Trek?
I'm not either one, but I would say more Star Trek. And just based off the movies, I've never really watched the shows.
Okay.
But I've always enjoyed the Star Trek. I can comprehend the Star Trek movies. The Star Wars movies, I get a little lost. Like, if you don't know who this guy is.
Oh my gosh, they make it so complicated.
You watch Clone Wars, yeah.
Why? And then I have to pause it and have my son explain it to me. Yeah. And he already feels like I'm useless. So it's not helpful.
Yeah, I liked, my favorite Star Wars movie is Rogue One, which I think is a lot of people, they don't like it. Because it felt like it was just a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, people shooting each other and blowing stuff up. I like that. Like, I love the Expendables movies because they're just so stupid. Just all the old action, guys coming together and just doing the most ridiculous stuff.
Right? Do you like the Jackie Chan ones where he's
a
dance?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's fighting, moving around a tree, and he's all choreographed. Yeah,
I don't want to think. I just want to watch a movie and be entertained.
Right? Have you ever held a ferret?
I have held a ferret, yeah.
Was it your own ferret?
It was not my, I wish. I always wanted to have a ferret.
Was it
a
roommate's
kid.
Ferret?
No, it was like a friend's ferret.
Was it in high school?
Probably elementary and middle school.
Okay, young one. Okay.
Yeah. It was like the 80s when ferrets were the phase. Because have you seen the movie Beastmaster?
I've heard about it.
Beastmaster is he's a beastmaster. He has a relationship with animals.
Okay.
It's kind of like this. It's like the 80s movie.
Does he have a hawk in that?
Probably at one point, but he has ferrets. He has two ferrets to help him out on his adventures.
I might have to,
have to watch it just for that.
Watch that. Yeah. Do I do an edible during or before?
Probably before. Yeah. It's a very campy movie. Yeah. I don't think I'd enjoy it so much watching it back.
Campy.
It was kind of. Have you seen the Conan the Barbarian movies?
Oh yeah.
It's like that. Meets Blue Lagoon, the movie with Brooke Shields.
Yes,
yeah, it's like that. Like the guy, Beastmaster, he looks like that kind of guy.
Does he have romances with his ferrets? Or they bring the hot girls over?
Because
not in a million years has a ferret brought a hot girl to your house.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that I feel like all his movies at one point that he gets with, they all get with a woman, but I don't remember that aspect.
You know what? Yeah. I take that back. There's a nerd for everyone. I'm sure.
Listen, I know plenty of women that would be like, you have a fair? I want to go check it out.
I want to go check it out. Yeah. Yeah. I immediately saw her in my imagination once I said, that's your fair.
Yeah, it's my girlfriend, Rachel. She loves ferrets. She loves ferrets.
I got to have your girlfriend on this show. I think she would just murder all these questions.
Oh, she's nerdy as hell.
Yeah. Have you ever had a birthday party for a pet?
Yeah, and I actually feel bad every year because my dog's birthday
It's
on 420.
Okay.
And I always forget every year because I'm preoccupied. mostly because we've done like shows at Sweetwater on 420. So that,
okay.
Yeah.
But, and then, not because you're too high?
Yeah, last year she killed a cat on 420.
She wants your attention.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I was like, oh, it's her birthday. Like,
oh, no.
I'll show you, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get arrested 9 times.
Yeah, but if I celebrate a birthday, it's probably because my wife or my girlfriend at the time was more engaged in that aspect.
I'm trying to do it. Did you ever put a pet in a costume?
Our poodle wears pajamas every day.
Oh my god! You have a poodle
put on
that
costumes,
wears
yeah.
pajamas every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, so she gets cold in the winter. My mother-in-law bought a bunch of like. Off like one of those like websites that comes from like, you know, like China, whatever. And it's like, it's always a weird like Asian style pajamas, but they're like, but it's for a poodle, like a 5-pound poodle.
It's like anime inspired poodle costume in rural Georgia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You gotta love the modern world.
Yeah.
How are all those things coming
Amazon,
How are all those things coming together? Have you ever said huzzah or gone to a Ren Fair?
I've performed at a Ren Fair.
You performed at a Ren Fair?
In high school. Yeah, I was a theater kid in high school.
You were a theater kid?
Yeah,
okay.
My intention was to pursue theater in college, but I got kicked out of advanced theater my senior year of high school.
What did you do? Did you punch a TV?
We hijacked a performance.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh. I didn't get in to advanced theater until my senior year because every year before that, I would do something. Like one year, we would do my freshman year, we would do a musical at the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing Lil Abner.
Yeah,
and so like the day before the show, the opening show, we all get to skip class and go like basically rehearse for like 8 hours. And my friend of mine, at the end of the school day, all the buses would pass the theater.
Mm-hmm.
So a friend of mine did a striptease.
Oh.
For all the buses driving by.
Was it a boy or girl?
It was another boy. Yeah, so we just kind of took our clothes off, we got down our underwear, and like yeah.
And were you doing the dance? Like a
So we were doing that. We were basically not, just took our clothes off. So because of that, we got kicked out.
You were
out of
doing
the play.
Guys and Dolls for, because there's a strip scene in there.
Yeah.
Little Abner.
Yeah. Guys and Dolls was the next, actually, you know what? It might have been Guys, because I got Guys and Dolls. One year was Guys and Dolls, and one year was Little Abner.
Your hot box.
Yeah.
Chickadees.
Yeah. And I got kicked out.
A bushel and a peck. You remember that song? And a hug around the neck. And then you would take your clothes off.
Yeah.
I was in that.
It was definitely loud because I got kicked. I got kicked out of Guys and Dolls for a different reason. I don't even remember.
You were so sassy. Like your energy is so nice and friendly and on stage. That's the energy. And you are so sassy.
Well, I like to think of like mischievous. I was a lot more mischievous back in the day. I grew up moving around a lot, and then finally got to high school, and I was the only school I ever went to where I was like there the whole time. And I wanted to stand out, so I did theater.
Mm-hmm.
I was my senior class vice president because I wanted to be something.
Yeah. That's where you try everything too, because you're trying to get your portfolio built up so you can get into college. You're like, I guess I'm running to be secretary. Put this on my resume.
Yeah, so actually I almost missed my honor ceremony because I got out of jail that day.
Oh my God.
Are you
a legend at your school?
I don't think so. Yeah, it's been too long maybe.
Amongst your peers. So go back to reunion, they're like, you're still alive?
Death, I don't go to reunions. Yeah, I missed the 10 and the 20. My goal is to do... to record a special at my 25th.
I think that's a great
idea. Because at that point, they'll get them all together. And we do have an amazing theater at the high school. But I feel like I have to work on being a clean comic. I'm not really a dirty comic, but I have to be a little bit cleaner.
I think the people in the audience are going to be old enough that they can handle.
Maybe, probably,
unless they're bringing their children.
Yeah, exactly.
You can just say an adult only.
Yeah, but I want to do it at my old high school. So I feel like to pull that off, I'm not sure. We'll see.
Well, I think people would pay good money to come see you perform.
But would the high school approve it? Yeah.
The history you have, the kid. The kid that got arrested 9 times. The kid that did a striptease in front of all the buses.
Right.
The kid that did, like, I think... What would you have? Did people sign your yearbook, or were you in jail?
Oh no, yeah, I was there for that. Yeah, I don't have it anymore because I think I lost it when I got evicted out of somewhere. But
oh no, was it like, dude, epic year for you?
Yeah, yeah. So many people try to stay out of jail. Like so many people wrote that in my yearbook. Yeah.
People made jokes about my spelling.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like, because I was in a show, and I missed. we signed the programs for the kids afterwards, and I misspelled liked, licked. I was like, I hope you licked the show. And then for my yearbook, everyone's like, Amy, we hope you licked high school.
One of the reasons I get kicked out of advanced drama was part of the sabotage we did of a show is we got kicked out of that show, and then they went off to go do what's it called? Like when you go off to conference or whatever, and like you perform, and it's like you get awards and stuff.
Yeah, it's states. They go when you perform.
They did all that, yeah. And we didn't get to go because we were kicked out of the play. But there was a mistake in the programs. They forgot to include two people.
Okay.
So we had to go. So we got stuck, and we were still in class, but no one else is there, and we had like a substitute. And
you had to go through an ad.
Assignment there was to go through the pamphlet and write all these two people were missing. But then we also wrote our own names.
Oh.
Like executive producer, Joe Pett. Yeah, all this different stuff. We did that in hundreds of these. And they had to use them.
Yeah.
So then we got two weeks of lunch attention because of that. We set the record for how long you get. They're like, we're not going to. It's not an offense to like kick you out of school.
Yeah.
But we had to go to like do lunch attention for 2 weeks. Yeah.
So you tried to do the musical every year and you got kicked out, basically, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, because the musicals, I would always get like a bit part because I can't sing.
Uh-huh.
So I would just be bored.
Like the character, actor part.
Yeah, I would get like, I would just be like, you know, so-and-so number two or something. It was never like a speaking role or something. So I just, every other time I did a play, I would be like, I never like was the lead, but I would be like supporting. Uh-huh. I always had like a good supporting role. And in the musicals, I think I would just get bored because you're around, like a lot of plays we would do would be like 12 people. It'd be intimate and you'd get to know each other. The musicals is like 100 people.
Uh-huh.
9 of them have never done it before. So I'm just trying to be like the goofball, trying to get there all, you know.
You're built for stand-up.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to have each experience be unique and fun and let's see how we can derail this and make it funnier.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you were born a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, every job I've had, I was just like the prankster. Like I would just get in mischief because I would just, if I wasn't doing anything, I'd get bored.
Do you like Christmas? I wanted to do myself.
I love Christmas, yeah.
Yeah. Are you part Christmas elf?
Nice, maybe, yeah.
It's like that's elf energy to be messing with things.
I did play an elf in high school. You know,
you did?
I think it was community theater. Actually, no, I played Rudolph.
You played Rudolph.
I get to play Rudolph, yeah.
Oh, of
but he
course.
Was six, so he didn't have any lines.
Do you like Jeopardy?
I love Jeopardy.
Okay, are you good at it?
I used to be.
I know, right?
I don't watch as much anymore ever since Alex. You know, Alex Trebek. Yeah, it wasn't the same. I kind of like lost my lust. But I'd watch it pretty much religiously every single day from when I was maybe 10 up until Alex Trebek passed.
Yeah.
But I was younger. I was more aware of current events and stuff, so I did better then.
It's hard to follow now because I don't know what the news is anymore.
But I'm also not watching as many movies, and I'm not engaging in pop culture as much.
There's too much.
Yeah, so there's a lot of that. And
it used to be just one movie was playing at the
theater. Yeah, yeah.
I remember those days and everyone saw it because that was all there was to do in our small town. So you go to, you like going to Dragon Cons. I'm just now pulling this all together. Okay. You have a theater background, born to be a stand-up comedian.
I think a performer. I just looked into stand-up comedy.
You're like a minstrel.
Yeah. Yeah. I always want, I think, yeah, I enjoy being on stage more than anything else in life. There's nothing more.
Will you go Google minstrel and find out if that's a slur?
I think I think that's to describe the shows that they used to do, like those shows, the traveling shows.
In the 1500s.
Yeah. Like the midi, like
singer or musician, especially one.
And like
who,
you're going on stage, you don't know if people are going to throw a cabbage at you.
Yeah. Yeah. But I enjoy that aspect, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit, it's a little raw dog.
Yeah.
It's a little danger.
Yeah.
Raw dog.
Yeah. You're like super nice, but you have like a super nice outer core of niceness, and inside is danger.
Yeah,
you got like a little bad boy.
Yeah, 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 exactly, yeah.
Does your wife like the bad boy part?
Probably a little bit, yeah. Yeah, I don't think if I had like, you know, tattoos or anything, she probably would have been as attracted to me. I think that bad boy aspect.
How many tattoos do you have?
I don't know. I have a lot because I have like full coverage.
What's the dorkiest one that you have?
I have a Mario tattoo.
A Mario?
It's like my third or fourth tattoo. My entire left leg is Mario themed.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like the bad boy of theater.
Yeah.
That's the kind of nerd. That's okay, I found it. He's the bad boy of theater.
Yeah, I was involved in a scandal and the reason I got kicked out of advanced theater and drama in my senior years, I got it was another one of these large productions, I forget which one it was, but I had a camera with me And it was, thankfully, I wasn't the one filming, but my camera got passed around, and there was another, like, some girls took their clothes off for the camera.
Oh, golly.
So then, at the end of the night, we go back to this one guy's house, and everyone's hanging out, and we're all watching, and we're like, whoa! And they got to the administrators, so I had to bring my camera in.
Oh, wow.
And show them, like, I had to fast forward to that part.
And show them.
And they're like, are you filming? I was like, no, I wasn't filming this. And so, like, the people who were involved all got suspended. Oh, and they, yeah. I escaped because I just, like,
You didn't have the camera.
Yeah.
That's actually a good precursor to how people treat their phones. But the girls did it on purpose? Or they were, so. Was that Peeping Tom energy?
No, they did it on purpose. Yeah, they did it on purpose.
What's the craziest thing you've seen at the underwear show? I've never been to it. And if I went to it, I would be like
nakedness.
Head to toe of like a footy pajama zipped all the way to the top.
We've had that, and I appreciate that. Because when I was doing it, it was like, as long as it was underwear, it didn't matter. What were they comfortable with?
Mm-hmm.
The idea is just to be out there and have fun. But people
come out naked?
A couple, maybe like three people.
Is it
out
the people you
hundreds.
Want to see naked?
Never,
right?
You're never the naked person.
It's always been a guy who's gone fully naked.
I've had
women go topless. I had one in Chicago where, like, before the show, she was wearing, like, everyone else is in the room, she's wearing, like, sweats.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, this is, if that's what she feels comfortable with, that's cool.
Uh-huh.
I wish she would, but, you know, then it was like, so I go on stage, and she comes out, and she's only wearing a tool belt.
Oh.
So she had everything else covered, but she had no top or anything else. So she went the exact opposite of what I expected.
Yeah.
So that was in itself. Like, she came out, and it was one of the first times I was like, oh! And then it looks like, oh, I'm staring at her. But I was just so surprised.
Ooga.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was like that effect, but not... But for many different reasons. I was just so surprised.
Was her buttocks straight out open? Like,
I think she had,
chaps?
She had a thong on, maybe. Okay. Something. She had like tool belt. Yeah.
The tool belt was covering the...
Everything else. Yeah, all the front stuff.
The front
yeah.
butt.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I've never had a front butt on when I did the underwear show. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I've had... there was a show we did in Omaha where there was a brother and sister on the show, which is already a little bit awkward, but then their parents were there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And the girl twerked during the show, her set.
That was
fun.
Was it part of a joke?
I think so, yeah, yeah. But then the next day I ended up in a hot tub with those parents. So they're pretty cool.
Yeah, that all makes sense.
Yeah, they were pretty cool.
I remember there was a twerk competition at JJ's one time after an underwear show. I do remember that.
I know, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it loosens people up. So.
Seriously, that's what it is. People get red, and then people, a lot of people get real drunk.
Do they take, what's the one that makes you horny? Acid? No.
Acid doesn't make you horny.
Ecstasy.
Ecstasy. Yeah. They take ecstasy.
Or MDMA, whatever
possibly.
These days. I'm sure some have. Yeah, I never did it. Yeah.
Well, that's one way to do comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I raised the precursor to OnlyFans.
Yeah.
You were just ahead of your time.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
With furry, nudity and comedy.
Yeah.
All that. Okay. Well, I think, how have we done? Boo, boo. We've done
okay.
it.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being
so
on
much.
Our show. Tell people where they can see you.
You just look up joepettis.com.
Joe Pettis, P-E-T-I-T-S.
Yeah, if you're Atlanta-based, I'm at the Sweetwater Brewing Company every first and third Thursday.
And do you still post everything for 1UP?
I do all the 1UP shows, yeah. So that's all me. If you want to go. Even if I'm not on a show, if you look up 1UP, we're going to have a good show.
Yeah.
We're bringing in a lot of really great up-and-coming comics boss. Like, we have Doug Benson coming up. So he's not, I was about to say, we also have great legends coming up too. But yeah, so we have a lot of good shows, and then I'm getting more and more out there. You know, I have a lot of, I have a decent amount of upcoming gigs going on the road. So if they want to find me,
you've been touring a ton.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you've stepped down from some of your positions so you can go do that.
Yeah,
the festival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm not, I backed down from I resigned from the West End Comedy Fest.
Uh-huh. But still going this
still
year,
going,
and it's amazing.
Yeah, still amazing. Yeah,
great headliners
and
this year.
And great hands.
I don't know if we're allowed to say who's going to be the headliners.
They've advertised all of them, yeah.
Rachel Feinstein and Shane Torres are...
And Wellington Juku, too. A local. Yeah, he's like
Wellington
the local.
Juku. Yeah. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gives great hugs.
And they've actually announced all the comics. But yeah, the process of running a festival is...
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting, and it was great. It was rewarding. But then I realized, why am I not putting this effort into my own...
Mm-hmm.
My own career.
Time for daddy.
Yeah, yeah. Because it was hundred. You know, it was hours and hours of work, and it was rewarding. But again, I was like, I can focus more on myself.
So there's a thing when you get into a committed relationship
that
it kind of, you cover a lot of bases with your partner, and it allows you to take more risks because now you've got two incomes, two brains wrapped around
I have quadruple because, again, we live with her parents.
And you have a whole team behind you.
Yeah.
You have the marketing team.
Yeah.
It helps you be able to go do more exciting things. Like, and also, you do the things you're bad at, so yeah. you get more free time, and right. you do the things they're bad at. So that's one of the benefits of having a long-term committed partner
yeah.
that cares about you and wants you to succeed and be successful.
It's true.
And I, is that the energy you're getting?
Absolutely.
I feel like
yeah, yeah.
I feel like you're blossoming.
Yeah, yeah. My wife works from home, and she has like a real career.
Do you ever prank your wife?
No, I do like if I do like do silly like today.
Dye her horse a different color.
Yeah, today she was leaving, so I just did that thing where you like kids do where you like just you just line up against the wall like they can't see you. So I like I'm probably the silliest one with my wife that I am with anyone else.
Oh, that's great.
So I get to have that level.
Does
yeah.
she have a great laugh?
Uh-oh. She has a pretty good yeah. she has like more like a she doesn't have a I don't think she has a great laugh, but she has a great face that she makes.
Yeah.
She gets a little squinty when she's like, she's like she just looks cheerful.
She looks like a
she looks like an emoji.
Does she have elf energy too?
Yeah, probably, yeah. She has like the bashful elf. Yeah.
That's great. My husband has a wonderful laugh. He sounds like he's dying. It sounds like a lunatic.
That's fun.
I love it so much. Yeah. I try to record it as much as I can. All right. Thank you, Joe, for being on my show.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great.